The following program deals with adult themes, including body image and sexuality, and it refers to body parts by their proper names. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to New World Notes, edited by yours truly, Kenneth Doust. A new edition of Gene Kilbourne's video, Killing Us Softly, is out, and the 10-year-old edition has been made available free to the public. The older version is still pretty darn good. It's an illustrated public lecture on the crazy and harmful depictions of women and sex in commercial advertisements. Kilbourne's critique is not especially radical, but I think it's very sound and very witty, and I think both men and women will appreciate the justness of what she has to say. I've condensed it slightly to fit our time slot. And of course, I've had to snip off the pictures. Here is Gene Kilbourne and the year 2000 version of Killing Us Softly.
Many years ago, I saw an ad that changed my life. At the time, I had a mindless job putting ads into a medical journal, and one of them was for birth control pills called Ovulin 21. And the ad said, Ovulin 21 works the way a woman thinks, by weekdays, not by cycle days. And the smiling woman, as you can see, has boxes in her head, and each box represents a day of the week. So Monday is washing day, Tuesday is ironing day. Now, this was a long time ago, but I knew there was something wrong with this ad. I couldn't exactly say what it was, but I knew there was something wrong. I took it home, and I put it with a magnet on my refrigerator. And then I began to collect other ads and put them up on the refrigerator, too. So soon I had a collage of ads up there. And as friends would come over, they'd say, what's this? And I'd say, well, you tell me. And we began looking at these images. And I started to see a pattern in the pictures, a kind of statement about what it means to be a woman in this culture. But I became very interested in the whole subject of beauty and of the image, of how much power it gives young women, but how short-lived and unfulfilling it ultimately is. And I kept collecting ads. In 1979, I made my first film, Killing Us Softly, which is still shown throughout the world. And in 1987, I remade it as Still Killing Us Softly. Now, here we are at the beginning of the new millennium. I want to look at what I said in those earlier films and see what's changed and what's stayed the same. In the original Killing Us Softly, I said that I would be asking of you something that no one has ever asked before, and that is to take advertising seriously. These days, we do take advertising more seriously. Advertising has increased from a $20 billion a year to a $180 billion a year industry. The average American is exposed to over 3,000 ads every single day and will spend 3 years of his or her life watching television commercials, just the commercials. The ads, as you know, are everywhere. They're on radio, television, newspapers, magazines, billboards, bumper stickers. Here, one company brags about its ability to put advertising in your face all over the place. And at the same time, everyone in America still feels personally exempt from the influence of advertising. So wherever I go, what I hear more than anything else is, I don't pay attention to ads. I just tune them out. They have no effect on me. Now, I hear this most often from people wearing Gap t-shirts, but that's another story. It certainly is true, in fact, it's more true than ever, that advertising is the foundation of the mass media. The primary purpose of the mass media is to sell products. Advertising does sell products, of course, but it also sells a great deal more than products. It sells values, it sells images, it sells concepts of love and sexuality, of romance, of success, and perhaps most important, of normalcy. To a great extent, advertising tells us who we are and who we should be. What does advertising tell us today about women? It tells us, just as it did 10 and 20 and 30 years ago, that what's most important about women is how we look. The first thing the advertisers do is surround us with the image of ideal female beauty, so we all learn how important it is for a woman to be beautiful and exactly what it takes. Women learn from a very early age that we must spend enormous amounts of time, energy, and above all, money, striving to achieve this ideal and feeling ashamed and guilty when we fail. And failure is inevitable because the ideal is based on absolute flawlessness. She never has any lines or wrinkles. She certainly has no scars or blemishes. Indeed, she has no pores. If anything, this ideal image has become far more impossibly perfect in recent years through the magic of computer retouching. Computers can do many things. For starters, they can alter a photograph to make it perfect. According to this magazine cover, Michelle Pfeiffer needs absolutely nothing. Well, not quite, according to the bill from the retouching company that describes all the work they had to do to make her acceptable for this cover, such as clean up complexion, soften eye lines, trim chin, remove necklines. In addition to retouching photographs of real women, computers can create women who do not exist. A Mirabella cover featured parts of different women's faces, one woman's lips, another's eyes, another's nose, combined to form the perfect face. This wouldn't matter so much if it didn't connect with the core belief of American culture that such transformation is possible, that we can look like this if we just try hard enough, buy the right products. If we're not beautiful or thin or rich or successful, it's because we're just not trying hard enough. And the research is clear that this ideal image does affect women's self-esteem, and it also influences how men feel about the real women they are with. And women's bodies are still, in fact, perhaps more than ever, turned into objects, into things. And of course, this has very serious consequences. For one thing, it creates a climate in which there's widespread and increasing violence against women. Here she's become the bottle of alcohol with a label branded on her stomach. Now, I'm not at all saying that an ad like this directly causes violence. It's not that simple. But it is part of a cultural climate in which women are seen as things, as objects. And certainly, turning a human being into a thing is almost always the first step toward justifying violence against that person. We see this with racism, we see it with homophobia. It's always the same process. We think of the person as less than human, and violence becomes inevitable. And that step is already taken with women. So the violence, the abuse, is partly the chilling but logical result of this kind of objectification. Now, this is a problem for all women, of course, but particularly women of color, who are often literally shown as animals, dressed in leopard skins, in animal prints. Over and over again, the real message is not fully human. Women's bodies continue to be dismembered in advertising. Over and over again, just one part of the body is used to sell products, which is, of course, the most dehumanizing thing you can do to someone. Not only is she a thing, but just one part of that thing is focused on. Most often, the focus is on breasts, since we are a culture that is certainly obsessed with breasts. And breasts are used to sell absolutely everything. The most dependable fishing line in the world. Women are constantly told we must change our lives by increasing our breast size, and the stakes are high. Does your husband wish you had larger breasts? And if he does, the implication is very clear. You better change your body, as opposed to changing your husband. 20 years ago, we were told to use creams and breast developers that were, of course, completely worthless. In ads like this, I really wanted a fuller bust line for summer. One wonders what she's supposed to do in the fall. And then we were told to wear uplifting bras, such as the Wonder Bra, and others. If you've got it, flaunt it, and if you don't, create it. Now imagine if men were supposed to play this game. Wonder Jock, the strap for the bulge you've always wanted. But nowadays, we're supposed to have plastic surgery. Breast implants. The most important decision I ever made was choosing my spouse, the second my plastic surgeon. Most women who have had breast implants lose sensation in their breasts, so their breasts become an object of someone else's pleasure rather than pleasurable in themselves. The woman literally moves from being a subject to an object. And yet we all learn very early on that our breasts are never okay the way they are. Your breasts may be too big, too saggy, too pert, too flat, too full, too far apart, too close together, too A-cup, too lopsided, too jiggly, too pale, too padded, too pointy, too pendulous, or just too mosquito bites. But with Depth Styling products, at least you can have your hair the way you want it. Now imagine being a young girl looking at an ad like this. It's clear from the copy that your breasts can never be okay. And the research indicates that the self-esteem of girls in America plummets when they reach adolescence. This doesn't happen to boys, but it does to girls. Girls tend to feel fine about themselves when they're 8, 9, 10 years old, but they hit adolescence and they hit a wall. And certainly part of that wall is this terrible emphasis on physical perfection.
The ad for Calvin Klein jeans shows a man's naked thighs and torso, no head. He's holding a small garment in front of his genitals, barely concealing them.
Men's bodies are rarely dismembered in advertising, more than they used to be, but this ad was so shocking that the ad itself got national media coverage. It's a good thing it got some coverage, I suppose. Reporters called me up from all around the country and said, look, they're doing the same thing to men they've always done to women. Well, not quite. They'd be doing the same thing to men they've always done to women if there were copy that went with this ad that went like this. Your penis may be too small, too droopy, too limp, too lopsided. Too narrow, too fat, too jiggly. Too pale, too pointy, too blunt, or just 2 inches. But at least you can have a great pair of jeans. And believe me, this is not the kind of equality I'm fighting for. I don't want them to do this to men any more than I do to women. But I think we can learn something from these two ads, one of which did happen and one of which never would. And what they show us very vividly is that men and women inhabit very different worlds. Men basically don't live in a world in which their bodies are routinely scrutinized, criticized, and judged, whereas women do. Now, this doesn't mean that there aren't stereotypes that harm men. There are plenty of stereotypes that harm men, but they tend to be less intimate, less related to the body. It's all probably summed up by this classic, a carrot or more when a man's achievement becomes a woman's good fortune. So the idea that women are just gold diggers, as in this Winston ad featuring this old man and young bride, she's after my money like I care. Now, so the stereotypes wound all of us. They wound women, they wound men, and they also make for pretty terrible relationships. But they are different. For women, the emphasis is always first and foremost on how we look, no matter what else we do. He said the first thing he noticed was your great personality. He lied. So the message that girls get early on is that it's never going to be your great personality that's going to be most important. And a body type that statistically 5% of American women have is the only one we ever see as desirable or acceptable. This is genetic. You can't diet yourself into this body type. Not for long, anyway, any more than you can make yourself taller. The models are very tall, genetically thin, although they often starve themselves anyway, broad-shouldered, narrow-hipped, long-legged, and usually small-breasted. So when the models have large breasts, almost always they've had implants. This is a body type that basically doesn't exist, but again, it's the only one we ever see. So no wonder there's such terrible stress on women and girls. The Body Shop made this point wonderfully with their recent ad, there are 3 billion women who don't look like supermodels and only 8 who do. And that's just about the truth. Basically, we're told that women are acceptable only if we're young, thin, white, beautiful, carefully groomed and polished, and any deviation from that ideal is met with a lot of contempt and hostility. You never thought you'd lose your looks either. And look at the kind of real contempt that there is for this woman who's portrayed as completely valueless now. These days, the greatest contempt is for women who are considered in the least bit overweight, as in this classic, I'd probably never be married now if I hadn't lost 49 pounds, which one woman told me was the best advertisement for fat she'd ever seen. The primary message that young women and girls get in our culture today is the message in this ad. At the top it says, the more you subtract, the more you add. And in general, as girls reach adolescence, they get the message that they should not be too powerful should not take up too much more space. Soon you'll both be taking up less space. Not to be too full of themselves, not to throw their weight around, not to be too powerful. So no wonder, given this, at least 1 in 5 young women in America today has an eating disorder, the most common of which are anorexia and bulimia. And if you think of an eating disorder as any kind of disordered attitude towards eating and one's appetite, it's probably closer to 4 out of 5. Now, where else could this image of thinness come from, if not, at least in part, from the media images that surround us and that tell us in order to be acceptable, we need to be painfully, unnaturally thin? And some of the ads that we see these days are more outrageous than ever before. Put some weight on. And this is an ad for the watch which the woman is wearing on her upper arm. She is so thin that she's wearing the watch on her upper arm. And they're actually joking about that in this ad. Put some weight on. The obsession with thinness, I think, is really about cutting girls down to size, silencing them. So not only do we have images of very thin girls and women, we also have many, many images of girls in ads with their hands over their mouths, or worse, with her lips sewn together, or silenced in many other ways. And women of color in particular are supposed to shut up and to be barely there, just smiling the bothers away. Let your fingers do the talking. It's endless, message after message.
Soft colors. Let your eyes be heard without making a sound.
And the body language of girls and young women is usually passive, vulnerable, get used, and very different from the body language of boys and men. So we have women typically posed like this, and men like this. And this starts so early. Look at this double-page spread from Calvin Klein. The incredible difference. The girl, again, her hand over her mouth. When girls are shown as powerful in advertising, it's always a very masculine definition of power. For girls with plenty of balls, very masculine indeed, and this is an ad for body lotion. Other times, the power that women are offered is silly and trivial. Live outside the lines. But what that means here is that she's able to use the men's room. What a great revolution. And this reminds me of an ad from my original film, an ad from the 70s that told women to relax and enjoy the revolution. And this ad was for flavored douches. It is completely ridiculous. It was then, it is now. But this trivialization of freedom and power for women and this co-optation of feminism continues. So the ultimate message that women and girls get remains, you have the right to remain sexy, which, according to this ad, really means the right to be a sex object, the right to be passive, the right to have our sexuality defined in a rigid, shallow, extremely limiting, and cliched way. Women are still told, as we were starting about 20 years ago, that it's sexy to be like a little girl because innocence is sexier than you think. Every detail is planned. The shape of the product, the way she's sitting, the fact that she's dressed like a little girl but she's got a cleavage. All of this is designed to send out a very powerful sexual message at the same time that it denies it, which is exactly what the ad is telling women to do. So for years now, for decades, we've been getting this message that we're supposed to be both innocent and sexy, virginal and experienced all at once. Now, as many of us know, this is tricky. And it's also insulting, because the real message is don't grow up, don't become a mature sexual being, stay like a little girl. And we're still getting this message over and over again. Nothing so sensual was ever so innocent. Grown women are infantilized in many ways through fashion and body language, ads like this, and images like this using a pacifier to sell lipstick. I spoke about the sexualization of little girls in my original film using this image. And if anything, this whole situation has gotten worse, the sexualization of children and also particularly of young teenagers. Calvin Klein, of course, has brought a lot of attention to this issue quite deliberately by using very young models in a series of ads and commercials that were meant to be reminiscent of child pornography.
Can you unbutton the top button of those jeans? Now, why don't you push them down?
In the original version of Killing Us Softly, I said that the advertiser was America's real pornographer. And I used examples such as the Exciter, this ad for Tabasco sauce that says, add your own dash at the table. And as I said then, if this ad isn't saying that this bottle of Tabasco sauce is having intercourse with this baked potato, I don't know what is. Or this ad, whatever you're giving him tonight, he'll enjoy it more with rice. I don't think I'm particularly naive, but I haven't figured out yet what the hell you do with rice. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's wild rice. One woman shouted out the other day, she just hoped it wasn't minute rice. But the use of sex to sell everything is more blatant and pervasive than ever before. This is an ad for jeans, although something seems to be missing. The truth is that sex is both more important and less important than our culture makes it out to be. And yet if you looked at the world of advertising, one would have the sense that there is nothing else but sex used to sell everything. In general, teenagers are hypersexualized in our culture today. A magazine for young women and girls called Jane has on the cover an article, 15 Ways Sex Makes You Prettier. A catalog for Abercrombie & Fitch, which is aimed, of course, at very young people, features a threesome. Again and again, kids being targeted and given messages like this, you can learn more about anatomy after school. The problem isn't sex, it's the trivialization of sex. It's the culture's pornographic attitude towards sex. When bondage is used to sell neckties in the New York Times, this says the right tie can make even the most casual evening more memorable, and there are ties on the bedposts. When bondage is used to sell perfume in the New Yorker and watches on a city bus, we can say that pornography has become mainstream. It not only trivializes that violence, it eroticizes it. Wear it out and make it scream. Now, this could be a seduction, but it could as easily be an attack, and it's certainly unnerving when we can't tell the difference. Often, violence, hostility, dominance is presented as erotic, as attractive, as appealing in ads and throughout the culture. Push my buttons. I'm looking for a man who can totally floor me, who won't stop till the top. You must live in sin. And think about it. This woman is extremely passive, vulnerable. She's in an elevator. We all know that elevators are dangerous places for women. And yet, she's asking for it. And there seems to be more of this than ever before. More ads that imply that women want to be forced to have sex. An ad for a perfume called Fetish, and the copy says, apply generously to your neck so he can smell the scent as you shake your head no. Making it very clear that we don't mean it when we say no, that she's, again, asking for it. There continue to be lots of ads that normalize and trivialize battering. And battering is the single greatest cause of injury to women in America. I ended the original version of Killing Us Softly with a slide of a horrifying display in a store window. It says, we'd kill for these. There's a female corpse in a shroud in a garbage can with blood on her face and a shoe across her throat. But today, we still have images of brutality. Murdered women are sometimes joked about in ads. Imagine an ad like this with a woman being shot. Trivializing copy like this, great hair never dies. In so many ways, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Some of the original ads that I used years ago seem impossibly sexist and even quite hilarious these days. My boyfriend told me he loved me for my mind. I was never so insulted in my life. And yet, consider these current ads. A woman being used as a footrest to sell skateboards. In general, human qualities are divided up, polarized, and labeled masculine and feminine. And then the feminine is consistently devalued, which causes men to devalue not only women, but also all those qualities that get labeled feminine by the culture. And by that I mean qualities like compassion, cooperation, nurturance, empathy, sensitivity. We may give lip service to these qualities, but in fact they have very low priority in our society. And we all lose, and we lose very badly, when we're told that one gender can have only one set of human qualities and one gender only the other. We obviously end up being half or less of what we otherwise might be. And certainly this dehumanizes all of us, men as well as women. Advertising is one powerful force that keeps us trapped in very rigid roles and in very crippling definitions of femininity and masculinity. But as we've seen, we still have a long way to go. And the changes have to be profound and global. And what they will depend upon more than anything else is an aware, active, educated public that thinks of itself primarily as citizens rather than primarily as consumers. We need to get involved in whatever way moves us to change not just the ads, but these attitudes that run so deep in our culture and that affect each one of us so deeply, whether we're conscious of it or not. Because what's at stake for all of us, men and women, boys and girls, is our ability to have authentic and freely chosen lives, nothing less. Thank you very much.
Jean Kilbourn and Killing Us Softly, Advertising's Image of Women, Edition 3. For information on the new fourth edition of the video, check out the Media Education Foundation, www.mediaed.org. And for more information on this show or to send feedback, check out newworldnotes.blogspot.com. That's newworldnotes.blogspot.com. New World Notes comes to you from the spacious underground studios of WWUH-FM, a community service of that beacon of light in darkest Connecticut, the University of Hartford. Thanks for listening. I'll get to my non-carborundum and hope to see you again next week. Ciao.